Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I'm talking to you today on the subject, the second man in the pig pen. The second man in the pig pen. But first, let's go not to the pig pen, let's go to the fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." We know that Jesus was the fourth man in the furnace. And the Bible tells us that there was a rock that followed Israel, and that rock was Christ. Somebody asked me, said, "How could Jesus be the fourth man in the furnace? He wasn't born yet." The Bible said he was the rock. He took on theophanies before he took on human flesh. And so he was the fourth man in the furnace. But now listen to this text a little longer. And he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." But verse 17 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" You may be seated. The second man in the pig pen. We that have lived with the Lord for a long time realize that he is a deliverer. If you've lived with the Lord for a while, Jesus has delivered you many times. God has reached in and plucked me out of circumstance and situation and turned it around. And so we that are Christian tend to rely on that. But there's a whole lot of difference in God's performance if you're in a fire furnace, if you are in a pig pen. What is the difference? They were in the fire furnace not through their own fault. They were in the fire furnace because of their allegiance to God. When we call upon the Lord to deliver us, he is sure to deliver us if we are in the situation through no fault of our own. But if you find yourself in a pig pen, you're not in a pig pen because of your allegiance for God. You're in the pig pen because of a series of bad choices and bad mistakes. The Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy, and I love the verse, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." This day, every day of my life, there's set before me blessing and cursing. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, couldn't be more explicit or simple. He said, a blessing if you obey the commandments. A curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. The three Hebrew children were in the fire furnace because they were obedient to God. The prodigal was in the fire furnace because he was disobedient. He made the wrong choice. There's a big difference. The prodigal was young, and it's difficult to make wise decisions when you don't have a bank of experience. There are advantages to old age, and one of those is you have a great, great repertoire of experience. You've seen this before. It's become a modern cliche. It's not my first rodeo. Been here before. Seen that. Done that. Know what happens to people that do that. One of my greatest strengths in making decisions outside of the Word of God is watching people make mistakes. I know so many people that their life is similar to mine, and they have made tremendous mistakes, and I've learned from their mistakes. There's only two ways to learn. You either learn from experience or instruction. And instruction is so much less painful than experience. If you can hear somebody that's already been there, done that, and they say, if you do that, this is what's going to happen. And you've got enough faith and confidence in them that you accept it and you avoid that. But this guy was young. The Bible said he was the younger of the two sons. He was young. And so he made a very bad mistake. The Bible teaches us that there are lust, temptations that are unique to young people. It said flee also youthful lusts. In other words, there are lusts, there are appetites that young people have that you won't have when you get older. As good as he had it, and this is young people, as good as they have it, they imagine it's going to be better. When I was a young man, I was so blessed because I had two sisters and a brother, but they were much older than I was. My brother and sister were twins, the younger ones, and they were 7 years older than I was, and my older sister was 10 years older than I was. And what was good about that? They got out of the house. And when they got out of the house, it freed up a lot of money. And so Dad could do things for me that he didn't do for them. He bought me my first two cars. He couldn't do that for my brother because he was too busy just keeping us fed. And so there was a tremendous, but even as good as it was, I thought it was going to be so much better when I got out of the house. Let me just tell you, if you're living at home, regardless of how your parents feel, stay as long as you can. It gets expensive when you're buying your own food, when you're paying your own insurance, when you're paying your own rent, when you're buying everything you need. Just stay as long as you could. In fact, if my mother and dad were alive, I'd move back in with them right now. But he thought it was going to be a whole lot better. And so he asked his father, said, whatever is mine, give it to me now. I want my inheritance now. I bought something kind of expensive the other day, and Becky didn't care, but she said, why'd you buy that? You didn't really need that. I said, to keep the kids from getting the money. So he said, whatever inheritance you have for me, I want it right now. And he took everything that his father could give him, and he went out. And it was good at first. He had friends. He enjoyed spending that money. Money is, it's fun to spend. That's what it's for. It's fun to spend. But it's not fun when it's all gone. He said, man, I wished I had that back. He spent all that he had. His dream of a better life turned into a nightmare. It just kept going down, down, down. Once you turn your back on God, the Bible said there are the pleasures of sin for a season. But that season will rapidly change. It goes down, 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 down. And we find ourselves like he did. A dream turned into a nightmare. How low can you get? I'm amazed at people that I know that have lived prosperously for the Lord. And to see them today and their life is in a terrible, terrible condition. And you say, how in the world do you get there? Somebody asked me about a used-to-be preacher the other day, a pastor. How do you get there? All you got to do is leave the Father's house. Don't expect if you don't pray, if you don't read the Bible, if you don't go to church, if you don't live for God, if you don't love Jesus Christ, that the fourth man is going to show up in your furnace. It's simply not going to happen. It's simply not going to happen. This man found himself all alone. He had had friends until his money ran out. And now he's all alone. He ate what the pigs ate. His appetite couldn't be satisfied any longer. And there he is in the pig pen. But guess who did not show up? There's not one record that the father ever attempted to reach him in the pig pen. The father will not be there in that circumstance because God allows us, good or bad, he allows us the recompense of our decision. It started with Adam and Eve. You say, there's a lot of things I don't understand. There's some things I don't understand. God gave Adam and Eve the freedom to make the wrong choice, and they took it. I don't understand why God gave them that freedom. There was an old movie, I think it was in the 70s, called The Stepford Wives. Anybody ever remember, see that movie? That was where the husbands had some kind of, I don't remember all the details, they had supernatural power over their wives, and their wives became zombies. And I've been trying to study how that works. They did everything their husbands wanted them to do. Their free will was gone. Friend, no matter who you are, God will not take away from you the ability to make decisions, good or bad. The second man in the pig pen will not be God. The Bible said it this way, and when he came to himself, and Paul describes it this way. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If you're in the flesh, you're not going to receive the things of God. For they that are foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. What the Apostle Paul said is, you're two people. You're a natural man and you're a spiritual man. You have a soul. You live in a body, but you are a spirit. Your spirit is going to live forever. And in that pig pen, this man did what you have to do. The Bible said he talked to himself. I've received counsel from a lot of people, but the best counselor I got outside of God is myself. I know God, and I know goodness. And the apostle said, when I know to do good and I do it not, it's sin. I know. But the Bible said this man that had fallen as far as he could fall came to himself. He came to himself. And the next thing he did, he began to talk to himself. Do you talk to yourself? Friend, I talk to myself. I am a great counselor to myself. I remind myself of the goodness of God. And when he began to talk to himself, he began to talk about the Father. And he began to talk about the Father's house. Why was it the Father didn't go down there? The Father refused to contaminate the inheritance that was left in the pig pen. If he had taken the robe to the pig pen, it wouldn't have helped him. The ring in the pig pen doesn't help you. When you're in the pig pen, you've got to make a decision, and that is, I will come out. This is the worst verse in the Bible. I'm going to read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. He said, in the church, there's a man sleeping with his stepmother at best. He said, it's so filthy that even the world would not do that. And this was his advice. He said, I tell you this, you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken from among you. For verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, and judge already as though I were present concerning him that done, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus, this is my advice. Leave him in the pig pen. Deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said he can no longer be helped by anybody except himself. He said, just leave him alone and pray this prayer that he will come to himself. Friend, if you're going to be saved at some point in your life, you've got to quit blaming the church. You've got to quit blaming your parents. You've got to quit blaming your brother and sister. You've got to quit blaming your friends and your pastor and everybody else. Sooner or later, you've got to say, it's not the elder brother and it's not the father. I'm eating slop in the pig pen because I made the wrong choices. And I'm coming to myself. I am making a decision. You see, Jesus on the coastline when Peter had denied him, Jesus didn't walk on the water to meet him this time. He simply stood on the coastline and waited for Peter to come to him. And when he did, Peter found out that Jesus had a meal prepared. The Bible said there was bread and fish on the fire. But Jesus didn't go to him. There's a reason why the Bible said, come unto me. At some point in time, it's your decision and nobody else's. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. But then he said this, come and go with me. It is your choice. I don't know what you have decided to do. I've decided not to blame my wife or my parents or my family or my friends or my church, or the people that left, or the people that were hypocrites, or the people that betrayed me. I have counted all that naught because I've said, I'm going to rise and I'm going to my Father's house. Because I'm like David. There is in God's house safety. There is in God's house shelter. And I am going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. First, he came to himself. Second, he talked to himself. Thirdly, he arose and took action. And he said, I'm going back to my Father's house. He began to talk about all the great things in the Father's house. He said, in my Father's house, even the servants have enough to eat. Even the servants live well in my Father's house. And the father, which had not gone to the pig pen, was anticipating this moment. He wasn't back behind somewhere. He was at the doorstep. He was on the porch. The father's response was that when he was a great way off, you don't have to do it by yourself, but you do have to come to yourself. If you'll make the decision, the father will help you. I promise you that. But you've got to make the decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're living in a hellish environment. Entertainment is tragic, appalling, immoral, embarrassing. You've got to make up your mind what you're going to watch on television. You've got to make up your mind where you're going to go. You've got to make up your mind who you're going to associate with. The Bible said he joined himself with a citizen. That was part of his downfall. Who are you associating with? You can't come and rub shoulders with the church on Sunday and then dance in the clubs all week with your friends and expect God is going to deliver you out of the fiery furnace. It's just not going to happen because you're not in a fiery furnace. You're in a pig pen. Your life's a mess because of your friends and the decisions you have made. But friend, I promise you, when he was a great way off, the Bible said, I don't like that. When he made his decision and came to himself and started home, the Bible said when he was a great way off. We don't have to go all the way alone, but we have to start. I've never seen God in all of my nearly 60 years of preaching or whatever now, 65, whatever it's been. I've never seen God pick somebody up physically and bring them to the altar. They have to make up their own mind. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going forward. I respond to the come that Jesus says, come unto me. You have to make that decision when he was a great way off. And the Bible said then the Father had compassion. He has compassion for you, but he's not an enabler. He's not going to bring you food in the pig pen. He's not going to bring you new clothes in the pig pen. He's not going to be your friend in the pig pen. He's going to leave you there with the hope that you will come to yourself and realize the wages of sin or death, that you have to make a change in your life. You can't serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You've got to make up your mind, whose side are you on? As for me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on the Lord's side. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I have no other. He had compassion, and the Bible said while he was yet a long way off, the Father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, no matter where you are, God has never quit loving you. He loves you in the pig pen, but he's not going to deliver you out of the pig pen. That's your choice. You've got to make up your mind. I can't stand it no more. I can't live this way anymore. But the Bible said then when he came, he ran and greeted him and brought him back to the Father's house. And the Bible said he called for the best robe. Said, put the best robe. He covered his sin with righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, I can promise you this. If you'll make the first step, if you'll make the right decision, if you'll come to yourself, I can promise you that God has got everything you'll need from that point. He covered him with the robe of righteousness. God doesn't see me in the flesh. That's the reason why the Bible teaches us not to judge one another. God doesn't even judge us in our flesh. If we come to ourselves and come to him, God puts a robe of righteousness on us. It covers all evidence that we've ever been in the pig pen. We don't have a past anymore. We're cleansed. We're free. Praise God. And we're wrapped in the righteousness of Almighty God. And then the Bible said he put a ring on his finger. You know what a ring symbolizes? Relationship. He said, I'm going to have a relationship with you. Father has so many things prepared for you if you'll come to yourself. And then the Bible said he put on him shoes. I think it's very wonderful that it talks about these things in detail. He put on his shoes. If you study shoes in the Bible, they're always the shoes of preparation. It means you're going to travel. What he was saying was, you might not have a past, but you've got a future. Shoes are indicative of your future. God is taking you somewhere. And then he called for the fatted calf. The Father had been fatting that calf or feeding that calf and preparing that calf for such a day as this. No matter what you're doing in your life, God is preparing for your place in his house. And every day of his life, he might not come down there and deliver you out of the pig pen, but he sends by the carrier pigeon of love his voice, I am preparing a place for you. God's got a place for you in his kingdom. And it is the devil that keeps you in the place of deprivation where you have nothing, where you're living like an animal. This world is living like animals. And yet I read, when their sons overdose and when their children die of alcohol poisoning, we know he's in heaven now. I wouldn't take a bet on that if I was Jimmy the Greek. Friend, you've got to get out of the pig pen of life. There is a separation. He said, come out and be you separate. That's what God is saying to everybody today. This world is a filthy pig pen, and God is saying, come out, separate yourself. For a variety of reasons, that you might be a light to the world, that you might show people there is another way to live. This world is so ignorant of the things of God, they don't know there's a better way. You are the light. You've got to expose them to a new and better way. You cannot help them by living in the pig pen with them and acting like they are. I've read about people that say, well, I've been going to the bar drinking with one man because he's got terrible problems. I'm trying to win him to the Lord. Friend, that's never going to happen. You can't become like them to save them. There's got to be a separation. And God is saying, separate yourself. Come out. Come out. Come out. Why? Because I've got a place prepared for you in the Father's house that is beyond your expectation. It will be a place where you got on a robe of righteousness, where you got on a ring of relationship, where you've got a fatted calf. That means I will satisfy the hunger of your life. This prodigal lived in a pig pen and ate the slop that the pigs were eating, and his appetite could not be satisfied. But God said, I've got a fatted calf prepared for you. Ladies and gentlemen, God has blessed me coming in and going out. I know so many people that have parallel universe to me. Their lives are much like me. And today they are in terrible, terrible condition because they have made the choices of where they're going to be. And they're waiting for God to come in the pig pen and deliver. It's just not going to happen. You got to come to yourself. One of my best friends, he and I traveled this country following each other in revivals. He had an advantage on me. He was extremely talented. He could play the piano and sing. He was just awesome. He was so talented. Something happened to him when he lived in West Virginia, and I never knew all the details for sure, but he backslid. He sank to the bottom. He became a heroin addict. And then I talked to him one day, and he said, let me tell you where it all consummated. In a bar in Odessa, Texas. He said, I was in a bar in Odessa, Texas, trying to hit on a woman. I bought her a drink. We were drinking together. I was planning on trying to get her to the motel. And suddenly a light came on in her eyes. She said, I'm a backslider. And she said, you led me to the Lord, prayed me through the Holy Ghost in Port Arthur, Texas. And he said, when that happened, Steve, he said, I ran out one door and she ran out the other. We literally ran out. He said, I ran out to my car and I prayed to God, God, please take me back. And when I talked to this man, he was pastoring a church. He had come all the way back, but he had to come to himself in a bar in Odessa, Texas. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come to yourself. It's nobody but you. It's you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. David said, I encourage myself. Friend, you've got to come to yourself. And if you will do that, if you will do that, praise God, I promise you that there is a God that will run to meet you with compassion. He'll fall on your neck. He'll wrap you in a robe of righteousness. He'll put a ring on your finger. He'll put shoes on your feet. He'll kill a fatted calf that is prepared for you. And one more thing. The Bible said the elder son resented the younger son coming back. And he began to say and protest against it. But the father stood against it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nobody in God's church that can keep you out. Friend, if I had left or somebody didn't like me, I'd been gone a long time ago. You're not going to believe this, but there are people that don't like me. Even people that call themselves Christians. And you're saying, no, I can't believe that. Oh, yeah, that's true. Friend, I promise you that sometime God even has to protect you from his church, but he'll do it. He'll do it. God said, if you'll make me first, if you won't give up your seat, I ain't giving up my seat for nobody. Praise God. Miss Parks wouldn't give up her seat in the bus, and I ain't giving my seat up in the church for nobody. I'm planted. You don't like me, it don't matter. I'm here. You wished I'd go away? I ain't going nowhere. Friend, there are so many people out there in the world, in every city in America, blaming somebody that offended them at church. It ain't nobody's fault but yours. If you want to be offended, I promise you, God will find an offender and send them straight to you. He'll find somebody to insult you, to insult your children, insult your wife, insult your dress, insult the way you look, the way you smell, the way you cook. He'll find a way to offend you. Friend, you've got to make up your mind. I am going to live and die in the Father's house. You can't take away my praise. You can't take away my shout. You can't take away my song. You can't take away my prayer. Oh, friend, that's what it means when it says, I am in the Father's hand and no man can pluck me out. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter where you're living today, you say, well, I'm just waiting for God to deliver me out of the fiery furnace. If you're there because you took a stand for God, he will. If you're there because you're drawn away by your own lust, he won't. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to come to yourself and say, ladies and gentlemen, here I stand. I take my stand at the old rugged cross. And it doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter what the church says. It doesn't matter what my family says, my friends or my enemies. Praise God, I am planted right here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would